Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, it's Bubba the Love Sponge, and cheers to 2022 and the resolutions that you can actually keep. How about having clean and shiny balls all year round? Sounds good to me, huh? And our sponsors at Manscaped are here to save your balls this year and make the ball drop in 2022 the cleanest and sexiest ever. Set your first New Year's resolution with good intentions and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and insert promo code Bubba for 20% off and free shipping. You know, a grooming routine isn't complete without applying Crop Preserver and Crop Reliever before showing off your brand new 2022 self. These unique formulations take care of the smelliest part of your body and are a big boost to your confidence into the new year. To complete your set, Manscaped threw in the new Shed Travel Bag and the anti-chafing boxer briefs, all as free gifts to keep all your goodies stored comfortably. Get 20% off and free shipping with code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code Bubba.
I'm not afraid of him.
He can smell fear and apprehension.
Why don't you just leave him alone? Homewrecker.
1-888-69-BUBBA.
We now return to the Bubba the Love Sponge Show.
You guys can bring in Bob Saget if you want. Bring in Bob. Going to be on White, correct? White.
Yes.
Bob Saget at the Improv tonight. And I think, probably two shows tonight. The Improv always works these people to the bone. So I'm thinking maybe two shows tonight, two on Saturday, and then usually the Improv tries to squeeze another one out of you on Sunday. That's what I'm thinking. Now, Bob being a big-time star may not let him do that. He's probably got writers and writers and things like that going on. So anyway.
He's going to sit in the middle seat. He said he's a little more comfortable there. So go ahead. Could you turn that mic on?
Yeah, I got it on.
As close to you as possible.
What's up, Bob Saget? How are you, bud?
Not much. I like this. This is like the great and powerful Oz.
It is like that, right? Now, I can stand up if I want, like this. I got a bar behind you here. Full-blown bar.
It's absolutely beautiful.
And then when we have bands in, Bob, we have a full-blown stage there.
That is amazing.
We have an on-air shower for when we have girls. It's over here.
Or a guy that just smells like package, right. So you got to clean it up.
Right. And we just got done doing, we had a fabricator here. Let me see here.
You had a Wheel of Fortune thing happen?
Yeah. It's going to be Bubba's Wheel of Torture.
That's hilarious.
And we're going to put inserts in there. Spin it once, Hurricanes.
You could put hamsters in that and put that inside Ralphie May.
You could. It would actually fit inside him.
Yep. Am I distorting or am I okay?
No, you sound good.
I had you a little hot.
I've been told I'm a little hot, but that's who's I'm.
Yeah, Bob, the ultimate professional, knows headphone levels second to none.
Yep.
Not a lot of people would know that, but Bob would.
I know them better than a nun is what you're saying.
Supposedly you're single nowadays.
I am single. The word's out. I don't know what brought that on me, talking about a single nun.
Is it the first time in a while?
It has been. I was underwater and having a nice time for 3 years, and then my wings have been clipped, and I am out.
Now,
and
are you single?
And I said, I wasn't even supposed to come to Tampa, and then a couple months ago I said, to my agent, what would be a nice place to go that's warm, and mm-hmm. the ladies are nice, and I've had nice responses, and he goes, Tampa.
Well, they called us Trampa. That's what a lot of people call it, because the women are real loose around here.
Never thought about that.
There's a lot of whores around town.
Yeah. Really? I brought a case of Imodium and some antibiotic cream. So
that's a good idea.
And we got this new spray that our urologist was here yesterday that desensitizes your penis as well.
I've had that. That's what I call a relationship.
Now, were you single or involved when you shot Entourage?
I was single at that time.
Oh, see, that's a good pick right there.
See, it brings out the longing in me.
Because Entourage, I got to tell you, man, I'm not going to be dumb. I'm not going to be dumb by saying that's your breakout role, because it's stupid to say that. But I really liked the character. Well, I think it's really, that's probably you, to be honest.
It's part me. I was out with my ex-girlfriend, and we were sitting at the pool, and I was in a robe and hadn't shaved, and I was smoking a cigar. And she said, you know, I got to tell you, you really are like that Entourage character. This is a little bit disturbing.
Did you take that as a compliment, though?
I did.
You should.
And I walked around. I strutted a lot, but it really didn't get me nothing that day, truthfully.
You know, and the thing about it is, for years, you know, you always played, you know, of course, Danny, Full House.
And that's a role. You know, you look at certain, in television, if you have success, which I've been blessed with a couple things there, and their
a
family.
A couple things.
Huge things.
I mean, come on now. You really don't have to work again. Let's be honest.
Well, I do, because I did those things. just as an artist alone. So, for yourself,
not for money.
Well, no, not for money, and for everybody needs money, but you also do it because you want your. I am an artist.
That's, well, you're trying to prove your, at this point, you're trying to prove a point. This is me. That was not me. I had to get paid.
And I don't even prove it. It's not my motivation to prove a point. It's just to do work that I think is really funny and that I love.
Well,
so.
You do. But you're. I almost, well, of course, being a guy.
You might be right. You're 17 feet taller than me.
I'm
on the Enterprise, and I'm in sick. I'm in sick bay, and you are up on the deck ready to beam to a planet.
Have you ever seen? You've done a lot of radio, including Howard, a good friend of ours. You've never seen anything like this, now, have you?
No, never. Their evil empire has never put people this low.
But this is the evil empire. What I'm saying is, I really I didn't like you on America Home, the funniest videos at all, because
you and I would have been good friends then.
They had you so corned up, but I know that you were just getting straight paid.
Well, I wrote it too, and I did all the voices. Oh, look out. Look at me. You know, it was 7 o'clock at night for most of the country. 7 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Prime time.
Going to come out doing the kind of stuff I do in my normal stand up, or actually then I didn't even have it evolved to where I have it now. You would be thrown off the air, and they'd probably put a laser on you and just disintegrate you. But I was very fortunate that it was over when it was.
Didn't you work both? Like, you were on Full House and doing the home videos at the same time.
80-hour weeks of two-dimensional characters.
So now let me ask you a question, Bob. From 89 to like 95. You did both Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yes.
What would your day, give us like an average day for you at that point?
Well, at that time, we didn't have great internet. You'd have to plug in order to fax someone. So I'd be sitting in my car driving from Columbia Studios, which became Sony Studios.
Right.
And then drive all the way to, that was for the video show. And then I'd drive to Warner Brothers, and I'd be writing in the car, which is really dangerous. At least there was no texting then.
You didn't have a driver?
Seriously.
I did sometimes, but then it was every day, and I just didn't realize it, and I would just be writing, and there were lights. It was typing.
But like, what would
it's not like texting. It's like typing on a computer.
What would be like where would you be first in the morning? Like, what time would you wake up, and where would you go?
I'd start around 7 in the morning. I'd go through videos that people have shown me of people getting hit in the nuts and old
people. Didn't have handlers do that? You had to do
I had the, they sent me, they sifted me the beauty of the, the pile. I went through only the finest of dung as we sift through.
Right, the finest of American white trash stupidity.
Then we'd take it and we'd write it, and it's 55 pages a week, and we wrote 9 years of it or 8 years of it, and then I would watch the videos and voice to them. It would basically be just a rip off of Mel Blanc. Oh, look out. You know,
So you did all the pre production with the Zoinks video deal and
all that stuff. I even put in my own boinks because I didn't want to hear it. So,
At the end of the day, at this point, you are running the whole deal. So I got to think that's just that much more money. I mean, you don't have the less handlers you have to take from the pie.
But that doesn't work that way. Well, I wasn't an exec producer for the show. It was a really good experience. Taught me a lot about production. I know how to do things. You know, I'm trying to set up to direct a movie right now. We're making offers, and that comes from knowing, believe it or not, how to make production on a television show.
So that lasted what, about noon?
I can't even give you the time frame anymore because it never stopped.
Right.
It was always changing because networks are always giving you notes. And then Full House was like a good job. Sitcoms, people always tell you if they complain about the hours of a sitcom, they're kind of crazy. A hybrid sitcom, you know, nowadays they'll shoot a single camera. But this is a really boring interview. It's my fault.
No, hold on.
And then I got busted.
Bob, don't be saying it's a boring interview.
And then I got busted for that overage singing group. I got busted for getting 90-year-old women drunk.
Well, I don't know. I don't remember that.
Yeah. No, it didn't happen. I was just trying to do sidebars.
Yeah, you're trying to add some flavor to the interview?
I'm checking my notes. I don't see the...
Normally you hear a guy...
I don't see the great-grandma...
it's normally underage girls, but I just wanted to make
this
exciting.
Like an orgy with the Golden Girls type of thing?
Yeah, Golden Girls orgy.
He had an orgy with the gold with Madge and the Golden Girls.
Blanche was pretty hot. Wasn't she the hot one, Blanche?
Yeah, I hit on her once. I was on a show called Make Me Laugh, and Rue McClanahan was the hot one, and she was kind of hot. She had a good sexual thing going. When I met her, I could hear one of her eggs dropping.
Now, what about Betty White?
I'm sorry?
Betty White?
Betty White is a wonderful, wonderful woman.
She has reinvented herself, has she?
No, I would not. I'm just trying to get into my own. I'm not even anywhere near my own decade.
Well, listen, Bob Saget, I got to tell you, though, as powerful as you are in L.A., you can only imagine how powerful she is, Betty White. I mean, she could just put her blessing on you, and you'd be even more of a star.
Yeah, as long as she keeps that Febreze going and get rid of that, I'm sure she's delightful.
Yeah, I've heard so.
You think Betty White still gets after it?
I think she has to do high maintenance, especially when you're of that age. Yeah, I think she's got to, because when you get older,
got a fluffer maybe?
My mother's, you can get a fluffer. My mother's 88, and she, she's always getting UTIs, which I thought she was just riding a mower around the house.
Right.
I
didn't
know what it was. You know, it's heavy equipment.
It is heavy equipment, what she's got.
It's
personal, but she keeps it clean, apparently. Extra stuff that happens.
Is your mom still a Philadelphia woman?
No, she lives in Philadelphia. I'm sorry. No, she lives exactly where you said. No, she lives in... Brentwood, not far from me. She's in the Holy Land.
So you brought her out?
I brought her out years ago, like 20 years ago. And we've had a rough life. We had, she lost two daughters. And she actually lost four children in her life. So I'm kind of the guy that makes her happy.
Wow. Really?
Oh, I give her fun activities. I'm doing a big, I'm on Jimmy Kimmel on Monday promoting a benefit I'm doing, the Scleroderma Research Foundation.
Yeah, you're big in that because your sister passed away.
Passed away. It's her daughter.
It's a cooking deal, isn't it?
No, they just do great food because it's the two hot tamales, but it's going to be Jimmy Kimmel doing the auction with me and then stand-up.
Jimmy's good guy.
He's great. And then stand-up comedy by Bill Bellamy and Jeff Garland and Jeff Ross. And Craig Ferguson, which is really great.
Oh, Jeff Garland's very funny.
I love him.
He's an angel. They're all great people.
Bob Saget in the studio. Of course, you know, Bob, we have to tell you, Bob's, where he's been and what he's doing. He'll be at the Improv twice. No, we're not done. We got a long time to go.
This is fun. Oh, I'm not going anywhere. I don't have anywhere to go. I just want to talk to you. I've never even seen this configuration. When it's over, I get beamed to another world.
You might.
We have one of those. Remember those things on Bugs Bunny that had like a big boxing glove and it came out of nowhere and hit you in the mouth?
Yeah.
That's what we got right in front of you. You don't even know it. It's going to come here.
Fine by me.
Bob Saget, he'll be, I think, I'm assuming two tonight, two Saturday. Do they squeeze another one out on Sunday?
No, I can't do Sunday. That's why I did last night, which was remarkable because I got to do Kimmel on Monday. So I can't travel that tight. And then I'm on Kimmel because I'm promoting a new stand-up special. I did a new hour, and it's on May 10th on Showtime at 10 p.m., and I'm excited about that. So,
speaking of Showtime, HBO and all that world, what is it? You know, I'm huge. I was huge into Entourage. I'm huge into Dexter. I just got done with Homeland, and now I'm halfway through Breaking Bad.
And none of it is stuff we want to watch where things are going okay.
No,
of course not.
It's all doom and gloom. But like
this guy can cure people. No, don't give me that. I want to see a guy eating a man.
What are you a big TV guy? What are you into? Like I always ask, people on television, what are you into? A lot of people are into Dexter. A lot of people are into Homeland. I know Howard's into Homeland as well.
Right. I got into Homeland a little bit, but not much. I loved Breaking Bad when it started, and then it's hard to invest me in something because I'm working so hard. I mean, I'm writing a book that's due in January with HarperCollins as my producer, so I got to move it, So
this is your second book, isn't it?
That was a picture book, the first one. You flatter me by knowing things because you have too much information.
Well,
my
research.
This is a
book that is the one that's coming out is about death and how comedy intersects death. And so it's about my family experiences. It's about Rodney Dangerfield and Richard Pryor. And it's also about how I'm writing a book that the laptop is on my lap. And my testicles are overheating throughout the process. So it's kind of a first.
That's gonna be the best part.
It's a first person riff. It just riffs and riffs and riffs. And it takes a lot of time. But in the meantime, one of the things that's the most prevalent is my stand up is having its time right now that it just, things come in waves. And so
right now you're kind of in the era of stand up.
I'm in the era of stand up. And I'm taking a few dates. I'm playing Bonnaroo in a couple months. I'm You know, things that I really want to do. I'm doing as many hipster gigs as I can. So this, the, coming here to the Tampa Improv is a great place to try out.
Well, plus the bitch factor. You know, we've kind of completely fluffed over the fact that this town has, and I know you're single now.
I am.
And this town is, you know, called Trampa for a reason. People like, you know, friends of ours, Polly Shore, and, you know, a lot of these guys who come through town say, man, the ass factor of Tampa.
But I don't want to have something that was on them on me. That's
no,
the other
you don't
thing.
Want anything that Polly's had at all.
No,
you
want to
stay so
a,
far away from that.
You want to meet a girl and then say, let's just stop by the clinic for a minute and get some tests. And right. then
Or just condom up.
Or just hug each other
or
and watch a show.
Suit, you
just
know.
Act like a married couple.
You know where you're
Is
missing.
Boardwalk Empire on
yeah,
tonight?
Right?
You know where you're missing the boat now. I hate to tell you what to do with your life.
Go ahead, hit
but
me.
But I mean, if I was you,
yeah.
obviously you have your own stuff going on. You got a lot of money. You're a big-time star.
Well.
You know, but you do get trumped in looks and the bitches love you factor by one of your best friends. And at this point, all you had to do was just take some of his hand-me-downs. Of course, I'm talking about John Stamos.
Yeah, but his hand-me-downs are
he's
fine.
Clean.
We talk
he's
all
clean.
The time. I just saw him last weekend. He is
John's clean?
Clean-ish. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember looking one day in the locker room at the old Full House thing,
right.
and I could have sworn that was a scrubbing bubble at the end of that thing. I don't know what it was.
Oh my God.
Is something. I don't know if it was some kind of wart, or I don't know.
A growth.
He is. I tell you, I met John at Howard's wedding.
Yep.
For the first time, he had him on the air a couple times, but you know, I was so blessed to be invited to Howard's wedding, and John was there. And I'm not a gay man, but I even as a man say, wow, that's a good look. I can see why all the women go insane over this guy because he's an attractive man,
and he knows it, and that's endearing.
And I just saw he did. I think it was. Didn't he do a television commercial? I mean, a Super Bowl commercial.
He did the yogurt one. For
oh,
Yoplait
yogurt.
Yogurt.
Now, what does that? I mean, Bob.
He always has that dripping out of his mouth.
He's always got a yogurt type texture. If
yep.
you would. Let me ask you a question, Bob. What does something like that pay? Like,
you know, I don't know.
Well, I know you don't know, but could you guess? I mean,
anywhere from $100,000 to $1 million is my guess.
Oh, I got to think $100,000's way low.
Well, I was just way low as the girl he was dating, but I'm just trying to find.
Can't you give your one of your best friends a little bit more than that? I mean, you just completely jobbed him out for $100,000.
I don't
That's
know.
John Stamos.
I'd say $500,000. I really don't know.
I mean, you guys are both single right now. Are you and Stamos just getting after it together?
We actually go out together. We hang out together. I'm actually telling a story about it on Kimmel on
boy, can you imagine
Monday.
A girl that was a part of that three-way?
Whoa.
A Bob Saget?
No, I don't do three ways. It's too much multitasking. You know, I'm a monogamous guy. I need one
too
person.
Much work.
Well, monogamous is still with if another guy's involved, is still not cheating, I guess, isn't it?
Well, I just don't want to look at a guy. I don't want to act.
You just don't want to get be in the same room as naked ass John Stamos. At the end
I don't
want
to be looking in his eyes while I'm finishing up. It
yeah.
just it, as far as I'm concerned, I've gone gay at that point.
You're
so.
Just a little too close for your comfort.
Look, he was Uncle Jesse, I was Danny. It just seems
yeah.
it just seems wrong for the family.
If
does.
I had to look in anybody's guy's eyes, though, in a three-way, it would be John Stamos.
Well, that yeah, yeah. I mean, boy, this show's really taking an interesting gay twist.
Yeah.
But,
I would change the show, go back in time, have it John Stamos and me and Roy Orbison. His eyes, I would look in. You know, because
Roy Orbison,
right? Because he won't tell what happened. He doesn't know that Stephanie drove a car through the kitchen because he's blind. So I think that's helpful.
Oh, there you go.
So, but you never now. So while most you know, like most guys are probably on the plane flying first class, like the way Bob Saget rolls with their laptop or iPad. Watching, you know, Dexter or Homeland, you're writing your book right now, I'm assuming.
I'm trying to, except yesterday night, I flew in and got in yesterday morning. The whole plane had decided to take an Ambien altogether, and the whole plane passed gas on me, the entire plane.
That's brutal.
So I kept me awake. I didn't fall asleep. And the guy in front of me was also not aware that there was a person behind him, so he tried to bend the seat,
yeah.
throwing himself against
it. He tried to get
it.
An extra 2 inches to actually bend the metal.
He was bending it. He was throwing himself, flailing himself to give my legs less. But at the end, I was like my left foot. My foot was hobbled.
And you're a lot taller than I was. I mean, you're pretty tall. What are you, 6'4"?
I'm 6'4", but I was 6'2" after this flight.
I bet.
It was really unfair. And the man next to me was very angry that he has a bladder. So we had to, you know, he drank like water or something, but I had to go to the bathroom before him, and he looked at me like I'd killed his cat, you know.
Right, just one time, right?
And no, we did it twice. It was a 2-time exercise on a 4.5-hour flight, but
right.
it all worked out pretty well.
I mean, you're getting a little older. Us older guys have to pee in the middle of the night
a
couple times.
I drink a lot of liquid, so I had a couple ginger ales, and I was like, I want to go pee. I don't want to keep it in here.
Are you a Krispy Kreme donut fan?
Well, I am. If I hold in my pee long enough, that's what comes out of me.
It's Krispy Kreme.
Damn right.
Anyway, we have Krispy Krispy. We catered it. We catered in some Krispy Kreme, and I'd be in a fat ass. I'd just go crazy over Krispy Kreme.
Oh, they're a good donut. I can't argue with that.
Did you like our green room? Did you like that?
I loved it. It was much nicer. You said go to the green room. I did, and it was like this relaxing. I could get too relaxed in here, and then I would never be able to do anything. I'd want to live in your green room.
Yeah. Now,
is that where the Band-Aid girls come? The ones that are in love and fascinated by this show? Do you get groupies that just are here?
Well, I married one time, and that cost me a lot of
money.
Yeah,
that worked out well for you, didn't it?
Where is she now?
I don't know. She's getting alimony, but I'm just saying. No, we don't. I think I'm beyond. Back in the day when I used to run this town with a loose pussy, it's an expression.
You ran this town with a loose. You yeah. said you had. Is that you didn't have?
One. No, I'm just an expression that we use. I used to probably get a little bit of groupies back in the day, but boy, that's really dried up. Speaking of which, do you get? I mean, like when you're flying in first class and stuff, do you get a lot of looky-loos?
Offers? I get looky-loos. I mean, I get TMZ'd when I get off a plane. But
right.
if
they
just
set you up, too,
Yeah, they know that you're on because they tell people who's flying.
Right.
But also, I'm wearing a hat and sunglasses, so I look, when I get off a plane, I might as well go fishing. You know, people
don't
really.
Bob Saget's got pretty much a distinctive look. I got to think that, you know, 40-year-old cougar, you know, really is a Bob Saget fan, would really just throw it out there for you.
I think if she really liked me, it'd be like the Twilight Zone movie from years ago where I look out the window and she's on the wing.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
Like this?
Yeah, she's like
on mushrooms at that point.
Oh, that'd be so cool to have a gargoyle girlfriend.
Ooh.
You might find
one here in Tampa.
She's my gargoyle. Some lady at the end of my show last night, that improv, and I haven't been there since 2004, apparently. I played, I guess, a Hard Rock here or something, and I played another venue here, and I know it, so we talked to each other before because of that.
Yeah, I had you on the air via phone.
But I
so much more enjoy your in-studio appearance because we can really get into it.
It's really sweet because I am more homo'd by being in here. It's Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. I mean, it's very cool.
Plus, you can take a shower if you like. And
you get on the hamster wheel. There's enough
red
light.
You can play guitar. You are a guitar player. You are known for guitar skills.
Really?
My new HBO special has, and they don't work in the morning on the radio, trust me, because I'm a professional.
But I'd love to have a little acoustic set with Bob Saget. I don't know if any other radio person in the world could say they'd done that.
But there are five new songs on this HBO special that's on Showtime.
Right. Showtime appreciates that.
That's what I'm talking about, right?
And so it's that thing airs
May 10th.
Have I mentioned that?
May 10th at 10 p.m.
And then it goes straight to, believe it or not, a week later, DVD, and they're still making CDs. They're making CDs still, physical.
I got a trivia question for you.
Go ahead.
Only because I spent 4 years here in college. Where do all the compact discs that are made in America? What city are they made in?
Des Moines.
Terre Haute, Indiana.
That's an interesting thing.
Terre Haute, Indiana,
and
yes.
Did they become landfill? That's another question.
No, but they still do. I know you're right, though. They still make CDs.
Yeah, they have to. You would thought they would have been gone. I thought there would have been a smaller chip that we would use.
Well, remember, they tried to do the mini disc thing, and that never worked out. And
it just looks silly. It looked like someone your kid played with.
It looked like an oversized book of matches, almost.
Well, exactly. It also was a thing that Barbie's Funhouse, when she had her own record player that was that size. It just makes you feel like, geez, I'm not Barbie. I just want to listen to music.
Have you ever played Terre Haute, Indiana before?
I have. I just don't recall.
So you
did not inhale.
Yeah. Of course. Terre Haute, Indiana is pretty rough, buddy.
I'm not a big road guy. I only go to places like this. I'm single. I said, hey, I want to go enjoy some place that's hot. The temperature is 80 degrees, and I've been here before.
With loose women.
I'm not, you know, what am I going to do with a loose woman, really?
Well, I mean, I think you're downplaying it a little bit. I think at the end of the day, if you had a couple little crickets, you know, waiting for you, you know.
Crickets is different, because you bring them into your room, and they just rub their legs together. You don't even have to do anything. The friction alone is hot, but, and you always have your conscience being your guide. I haven't been with anybody in years because this is it's funny when you're with somebody, you don't even look up. When a girl comes into the restaurant, you don't look around like, wow.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Because you're a good man.
You're a good man.
I am. And that, I wouldn't kick her out of bed. That's the other attitude where you walk in and all of a sudden your radar's back up. So I've learned the hard way. I wasn't always a good man.
Is it uncomfortable like when women come up to you like at airports and like, you know, you got to get this.
He tries to downplay
you.
Which means he's getting a lot. When you downplay it, it's like somebody who's got a lot of money. Bob Saget's got a lot of money, but he's never going to talk about it. I heard him not want to talk about it on Cowhead's show yesterday. So I brought it
in a U-Haul. It's outside.
He gets a lot of women. That's why he doesn't want to talk about it.
I haven't had any women since this breakup.
When's the last time you got laid, Bob?
I refuse to answer that question, but I haven't had any. I've been with anyone. Had that sounds even worse.
Yeah, player.
I'm a monogamous man, and I am a bit, a little melancholy over it.
Is it weird though when they approach you?
Did you break up with her, or she break up with you?
That's too personal. Are you broken up, or are you together?
No, I actually got a new girl.
Probably going to screw it up though.
Where'd you get her?
I have been her friend for 11 years, but we never did anything.
So the sex must be off the hizzle.
Well, yeah, when we do, I'm old, but she's from Missouri.
And
she's 31.
Show me state. Does she show him?
Yeah, no, she's real conservative. I've been usually with loose whores.
Right.
And I really, over my history is with women who like to really throw it out there to friends and family. And so.
How'd that work out for
not
you?
Not very well.
They throw themselves out to your family as well?
Well, no, I'm just making that up.
That's not good.
Friends,
do
definitely.
That.
But anyway, right. At the end of the day, this one's very conservative in that matter. And she's, awesome. She's beautiful. And I'm way above the rim. I'm a 5'10" fat ass who has a decent little job here in Tampa, niche oriented at best. And this bitch has got it going on. I mean, she's beautiful. So,
but she loves you because she doesn't hear you put yourself down that much.
Right. No. No. Well, I don't know. She probably does, but she still loves me. She can see through the crap. But
because also you're sitting 40 feet in the air, and so she knows that you
actually,
have some kind of
our house is configured that she can't see me like this as well. We just have pretty much an audio relationship. Yeah.
So basically, she's living with the Emperor of Shrek.
Right. Exactly. She's upstairs. I'm downstairs, and there's really never a lot of visual because I'm not a visual. Radio's been good to me because it's not visual, and
right.
I'm very much a non-visual man.
Some people choose to use a sensor too. But you have like a bat pole that you would slide from upstairs, and she'd just be laying at the bottom, all ready to go, and you just go.
I think if we were to do a bat pole thing, that she'd have to be on the pole because I think I would really not be. I don't think my body's not made for a pole, quite frankly.
How about a slip and slide? Put her at the bottom, just kind of throw yourself like a bowling ball and just try to
and
make.
Not
it.
To argue with your slip and slide concept, but then once I get so much inertia going, it's hard to get it stopped as well. I could go through walls at that point as well.
Well, then they could maybe have hoses turned on you and ready to push you back.
Like almost Shamu or something like that. I'm very whale-like.
Exactly. Or maybe she's doing her little exotic dance around you.
She's very beautiful.
Did you ever do that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
She's exotic?
Yeah.
You could be sitting on a rainbird, just have it turned on and just be rotating in the front yard.
Rainbird.
You'd just be going... back and forth, and then she could please you.
Morning drive is just not conducive to having a real lustrous sex life because you got to be in bed by 9.
Right.
You have to be up by 4.
Well, you can have bed at 8. You can have relations at 8:30.
But then it's all planned, and you got a kid.
Yeah, all planned does not make good sex.
Oh,
it can't
no,
be
I
like,
it.
Okay, no. I'm ready. Do you want to do this? That's like, that's like you order a robot.
Probably as busy as you were during the Full House the America's Home Funniest Deal. You probably had to plan a lot of it was either spontaneous groupie love and or planned stuff. The first was probably pretty hot.
Well, I'm usually pretty much as anal retentive as I appear. I didn't mean that in a sexual way, but as the reason I could play that character was it's a character first of all,
right?
But I was
talking
exhausted.
About pure time though. It's pure time.
Pure time. I could pretty much be on call if I'm not exhausted as needed. But a lot of times people don't want to do something before it's not their way of doing things. If they don't want to do it late at night, if they don't want to do it in the morning. Usually guys like it in the morning.
I'm a morning guy. I really
that's
am.
An automatic that. Thing. You've
yeah.
got it.
You got it on deck. It's ready to go.
You wake up. There's a putter. There's a little tent.
There's a little something something going on there.
And if you get the response of all guys are like that. This ain't no big deal. Then that's the that's time to walk away.
Bob Saget in the studio. 2 shows tonight. 2 on tomorrow at the Improv as well. I'm going to throw it out there right now.
Right.
Any chicks? Just 1-888-69-BUBBA. Again, 1-888-69-BUBBA. Just straight ass women that admire Bob Saget. He seems like he's a little down on himself right now. Or that.
Well, I'm not down on myself.
He's just kind of downplaying.
It's hard to be down on myself because if I was, I wouldn't even do the show.
He'd
right.
Never
just
leave
be
the
in
house.
The room.
Right.
I have jokes about that, but why go there?
Yeah.
But it's true.
Are you a well-hung man, Bob?
I knew he was going
to
ask you that.
Well, you got to go there. If a guy's going to say that he has jokes about taking care of himself, then you might be
I
able
have
to
jokes
take care of
that,
himself.
I have jokes that go all over the place.
I got to think, Bob.
You would, one thing is, I had one joke that I wrote, and I didn't even know why. It does not make sense. It's like, I think I'm an insult to all Chinese men everywhere. Now, if I say that, that's an insult. That means a small penis joke. So I'd rather say that I'm very well endowed.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Tara, you're the only woman in here. And women, and don't lie, even though you're somewhat whorish.
Yeah.
Don't lie.
Right.
But
nice,
women,
nice.
Women size men up. You know that. So,
yeah, but I'm not a meat gazer.
Well, I'm not saying that you're a meat gazer, but if you were to see Bob walking down the mall or whatever, would you think to yourself, wow, that guy's probably got a pretty big penis?
Well, first of all, he's a good-looking guy.
Right.
He's very attractive.
Sweet. Tall.
Yeah,
no, very sweet. And, you know, come on. It's not like this is the first time you've heard this. This is so cheesy. But you're a tall, good-looking guy, and that's what women like. Let's just face
it. Hold on. Let me just...
Bob, can I ask you to settle a dispute for me? Give me one second.
Hold on.
Yeah, okay. He needs a
just
moment.
Pounding it.
Can I ask you to settle a dispute for me, Bob?
Yeah, I think it's whatever. I can be anything.
I got to have your unabated attention.
For anyone.
My girl's on TV right now, and there's weather. But Marina Molina.
He's obsessed with this chick.
And so, Bob, you're a guy like me.
She's the weather girl?
Yeah, and they're going to show her here in a minute. She just was on, and
I worry about a girl like that because I'm positive she's got a cold front.
Well...
And it's moving in.
I'm looking for more of a high pressure system on her. But here's the deal. They're gonna flip it back over. Now this is Fox National, right by Sirius.
Fox National means they had to brainwash her to get her on this thing.
Well, she's originally from Tallahassee. She's from Miami. She's I think a Latin Brazilian kind of girl.
Well, she can't be that hot. They're not cutting.
Well, there's some severe weather coming up in the Northeast. So
those Latinos will burn your house down. Yeah. I'm telling you, you piss her off.
We're not talking about Left Eye Lopez here. Right here.
Now, that's Bob, your type. I dated a girl who looked like that.
That is his type.
Cheese. It is. And Maria, we're called an audible. We're going to do the grilled cheese indoors. Give Koyman back her umbrella.
Shut up, you cheeseball. Now, Bob, what do you think about Maria? Marina
I think
Molina?
It's lovely. This is, I'm not a good dater or a J dater or a guy or a sultan that goes, I like her. Bring her to me,
Bring her to me.
Bubba's a modern day caveman when it comes to a woman.
Or an American Indian that could slander me.
Tracy.
That's true.
Tracy on the phone from Hudson. Tracy, you're on with Bob
Ready
Saget.
To talk.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell us what do you got for my boy Bob?
Well, what I want to say is, I got to tell you, I never knew how funny Bob Saget was. After the whole, I got to admit, I didn't watch that show. But after seeing his HBO special, I was a big fan. I got to tell you, I never knew that he had that side of him.
I think I agree. I think that his HBO stuff and his soon-to-be Showtime thing, which comes, I think, is it May 10th, Bob?
May 10th it goes
I think that is even more spectacular because that's Bob. And so it shows you that, one, how he is as a guy's guy, but two, it shows you how talented he really was to be able to do what he did in Full House and America's, video deal in order to, have a living and establish his career. But this is truly Bob, what you're hearing today and what you're going to see on HBO and on Showtime. So I just think that it even puts Bob in a whole different talent category, and it makes you appreciate Bob for what he had to do in order to get to where he is now. I love Bob.
Thank you. This is the nicest eulogy I've ever had.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Anyway, Lisa.
I didn't know he was going to be special, so thanks for letting me know. And again,
improv.
Shout out to you, Bob. You're awesome, and keep it up.
Thank you. I will do that.
Improv. Two tonight, two tomorrow. Come see Bob in person. Screw seeing him on TV. Witness this phenomenon in person if you could.
It is fun on TV. I'm not doing a lot of dates either. I'm doing Bonnaroo when that comes up in a couple months, and I'm doing
Supply and Demand, Bob.
Yeah, and I'm trying to do more hipster venues, so I'm doing like real cool things like in Brooklyn. I'm just doing gigs that are a little bit less of, hey, it's the House of Blues, and you got barricades, people are screaming, and everybody's drunk, which is fun to do, and you make more money at some of that. But although I am doing Atlantic City at the Borgata, so I'm a complete hypocrite.
Lisa, on with Bob Saget. Lisa, hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
Hello.
Tell us your Bob Saget theory and or story and or if you want to be with the guy.
Yeah, I actually grew up watching him on Full House and never knew how raunchy he was and saw his stand-up comedy, and I love it. I think he's great.
It makes you even hotter for him, does it not? Don't even lie like you do a lot.
Yeah, all girls like a funny guy.
Have you ever masturbated to Bob Saget?
All the time.
I knew that's
the nicest thing I've ever heard.
I was getting ready to say the same thing.
Thank you, Lisa. Tara, have you?
Wow.
Multiple times. I mean, in fact, I'm such a morning person. It's the first thing I did when I woke up, just knowing he was going to be in here.
So when I said, wake up San Francisco, you were.
I mean, I was like,
No, you just did the Jack Black thing in New York. Was it the Friars Club?
Friars Club. It won't be televised. It was a cooler than the cool. It's an urban myth kind of thing that we did. And they honored Jack, and I was the roast master, and it was really, really strong. A lot of people got up and spoke. Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Artie Lang, my friend, who I directed in Dirty Work.
Artie's a very good friend of ours.
Very good, and he's also doing well now, which makes me really happy.
He really is.
We actually had, I think, one of the very first Artie Lang interviews post his little problem. Artie and I very, very close. Artie came to my wedding when I that little thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Artie came to my wedding. Artie's very good friend of the show.
And he's a great, great
person. I'm so happy for him right now. You know, when Nick DiPaolo left, you know, you didn't know. And it seems like Artie's just taken the reins and done well, real well. And he got that, you know, DirecTV deal. So I'm happy for Artie. And I'm more importantly happy that he's clean. You know what I'm saying?
That's the most important thing. He told me that he's really doing it because he's doing it. And he's doing it organically.
He seems happy, too.
Like, he is happy. I met the girl he's dating. And the jokes were that, you know, he was supposed to be on my roast on Comedy Central a few years ago.
But
the
didn't he check into rehab or something?
He actually wasn't available the night before because he had OD'd. And then they said, well, he might be okay by morning. We have a private jet waiting for him. And I'm like, well, how is he? Thanks for your caring. But
yeah, right.
We ended up, they said, the phone call was, we can either have Steve Sharipa, Ralphie May, or Jeff Garland. So they just wanted to take fat jokes, basically, and transfer them to whoever would take them. Right. So Jeff Garland just said, I love you, Bob, because you asked me how dry my grandmother was years ago. And so he did it. He's a dear friend since. So.
He's a great
talent. Well, this is an interesting phone call. Bill out of Clearwater has something for Bob as well. Bill, Bill, hello.
What did I do?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, I was on the pilot episode of America's Funniest Videos.
Oh, you're kidding. You were there when we shot the pilot?
Yeah, I was changing my son's diaper and he peed in my face.
Oh, you were? Oh, your video, your actual video.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Did you win the deal or did you get to Bob Scurry on the money?
Some fat lady that was stuck in the dishwasher beat me out.
You know, I know her, the lady stuck in the dishwasher. That was a big time for that show.
Bob, you know, Bob is the one that picked the winner, too, so Bob really
you can't make those things up.
That's right.
My producers, you know what was weird is my producers picked the winners because sometimes they were from, like, Yugoslavia, and it's like, we're not paying that airfare. We just bought those clips.
Let's get the guy from Mississippi to come
on that's,
in.
That's really cool. That was a great video. Is your son still doing that?
Yeah.
he's trying.
It's called fetish now. It's not cute. It's no longer cute. It's called a fetish.
You got to wear, like, a visor or something if he's going to do that.
Anyway, Bill, you should come out and try to see Bob. He's two shows at the Improv tonight and tomorrow.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I'll be there.
It'll be all sold out, but we'll give you a special place with your son by the bathroom. I know he can't control himself.
They have a special urinal section, my friend. Thank you. Dana out of Charleston, South Carolina. Dana, hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good, y'all. Bob Saget.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Too bad I ain't got that country accent.
Not at all.
Get her done, baby.
Get her done. Hey, I just want to give that talk to y'all, and I just want to tell about Bob. I remember growing up watching him. He was a wholesome,
now you're all
all-American guy on Full House. Yeah. And, you know, he really turned out good when I watched him in Dumb and Dumber. I felt like that's...
All right, good talking to you, Dana, in the news of the obvious. You know, he's a real good feather there on that dear Full House.
He's good,
I done grown up watching him.
Nice. She just, she didn't, was that her family in the background?
Yes, it was.
No, that was, yeah, but the one thing about me, Bob, is I don't have a tolerance for just, you know, stupid people telling us the news of the obvious, you know I mean?
Like naming the things that you saw me in?
Well, like, you know, Bill, for instance. Bill from Clearwater had an interesting point. Hey, hey, I was on the pilot episode. Hey, that's cool. Then right. a couple bitches fretting over you. I can get
well,
through that.
Well, maybe she was going to get to a point.
But no, I just don't have time
for
that.
He has no patience.
He's got ADD
yeah.
no really patience. Bad.
Yeah, I understand. So, I was in the movie Dumb and Dumberer,
yeah, second one, right?
Where I ended up doing the poo scene where this kid smeared chocolate all over my walls by mistake, and I thought it was poo, and then I yelled at him, and they said they blanked in my house, and they're screaming. And then at the end of the credits, I like tasted the wall. I said, it tastes like poo. It is poo. You know, one of those dumb jokes.
I liked the role in half-baked,
and you
half
probably made about $200,000 for the role.
Yeah,
half-baked as the Cokehead, though.
Yeah, half-baked was where I used to say I blank for Coke.
Yes, that was a great role.
It's a beautiful thing.
John from Bradenton on with John, on with Bob Saget. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Bob. I've got a buddy in Denver, and I was told and I saw pictures of the bud, the marijuana strain that was named after you, the Bob Saget that won the Cannabis Cup this year.
Did you know that, Bob?
No.
Yeah.
Supposedly, according to this guy's testimony, that in Denver, they had a cannabis cup, and the strain that won is called the Bob Saget.
That means I'm, true story. That would make me pure residue.
Pure residue, yep. and cool, and because now you have strains named after you.
Wow. I mean,
yep. Yeah.
I'm named after bong water.
See, you need to bring that up at Bonnaroo and all those hipster festivals.
Well, they know, because I've got some. I'm thought of as a guy that does drugs, which is really weird.
You don't get high?
No, I used to when I was in my early 20s. It doesn't agree with me. I'm too busy. I can't get stuff done. I get mellow. I can do it once in a while, but I lose too much time on it. I was with my friend Jeff Ross, and we were coming back from Vegas, and I got some chocolate medicinals.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say in California, you don't even have to be the dirty birdie and spark up a big. You can ingest it through
almost
this. Anyway.
Missed the flight. I just sat in front of just putting quarters in the slot machine. I just sat there. He took pictures of me, and I was like, where are we going? Just sad. So I'm not a good person. I'm not. Let's get the Bob high. I'm not a dog. Too.
I gotta think though. You high. Because, I mean, you're real dry and brilliant. I got to think, because, Manson, when we get high, how much more cynical we become. I got to think that Bob would be just the life of the party, high as a billy goat.
Yeah.
I really
for
do.
For a party, I guess, it could be fun. But if I get paranoid or exhausted, then that's no good.
Bob, how dirty is, I've seen your HBO stuff.
The new Showtime special is cleaner. It has less of the F-bombs in it.
Right.
Well, the last one, Don Rickles grabbed me, and he went, I really love your special. You left out two Fs, I'm trying to clean it up for you.
Right, right.
And then he slapped me in the face, and then we made out.
How about tonight's show or tomorrow night's two shows at the Improv? What can people expect there? Like, what is that, like a hybrid between?
It's cleaner than South Park or a Family Guy episode.
Why would you want to be?
Because those are really filthy. I mean, they talk about, miscarriages and abortions, and I don't do that kind of stuff. I don't do religion. I don't do politics. Talk about my wiener where it's safe,
Right.
Yeah, that's safe.
By the way, you're big wiener for those scoring at home.
It's actually, there's a song in the show that's called The Biggest Wiener. It's one of my new pieces. I'm very excited
You want to play it on stage today?
No, you don't. But I mean, because it doesn't work. It doesn't translate. You know what I mean? It's not like it's
Is it a visual thing? Do you bring a dildo and strap it on?
What, do you have a guitar? You need to hear music? Is that what? It's the second time you've approached me.
Oh, Bob, I do have a badass stage, and you're a very talented man, and you now have incorporated music into all facets of your stuff.
I wouldn't go all the way up there. I would bring a guitar to wherever I am.
Sure. If somebody wants to bring in an acoustic, if you'd like to. I don't know if you've ever...
If it's right there, I would just play it here at the mic.
Right.
It's kind of offensive. It's in the special.
He likes offensive.
Now, have you ever played, in all your radio dealings, have you ever done an acoustic set?
I have done an acoustic set many times, but mostly for their festival shows, for like Kevin and Bean, the big ones in LA. Yeah, I did a thing for them, and then we had to get YouTube to get it off. What I'm scared of is it being duplicated because people can record it.
Well, then how about I just make sure that nobody, my cameras are all out of here, and this is completely just a us guys, just
if you can do that. I mean, I'll just do a couple bars of it.
Woodsman and whoever's doing the camera, get the hell out of here.
But I worry about your listeners playing it, which they could record it. That's the only problem.
Well, what we could do though is we could. But what I could do is I could watermark it, Bob, with some fart sound effects.
The lights can be off. Did the lights?
We don't like those ugly lights, man.
I don't know why those lights are on. That got weird.
Well, how about this now, Bob? Now hold on, before you go. How about I watermark it and interrupt it occasionally? With like some type of like
sound effect,
like a sound effect, so that nobody could
record it,
like something like.
Well,
this.
You can do that over a word.
Well, hold on now. I'm trying to find that. I want you to help me out here.
Wow.
That's Dennis Rodman.
Wow.
I'm trying to say here.
Mexicans.
It's George Bush.
Get up, Tara.
I'm saying here.
It puts the ocean on its skin.
I never play, but you did. You persisted. I want to make you happy.
All right, Bob. Well, I'm gonna throw a couple little goofy sound effects over so that the people aren't pirating it. And they don't make a lot of money off your art on my show.
All right.
At that point, I'm getting ripped off. My show's getting ripped off, and your talent's
this is gonna. I'm on Jimmy Kimmel on Monday. I think they're going to play a clip from this anyway on the air, but it might be used as a bumper. You know what that is.
Right, bump in on your deal. Here we go.
Exactly. It's a love song.
Do you know how much hotter you just got playing the guitar, too?
Hold on, guys. Really? Give me a wireless and kind of put down towards the guitar, maybe towards his penis.
Well, I'll make it loud enough. I'll do really good.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna.
Bob, it's like you're a little kid. I'll do real good. I promise. Dad, I'll do good.
I'll be good for you. Don't hit me, Engine Joe. Don't hit me.
Daddy, okay. Bob will do good. Here we go.
And I'll take a cue to get out of this on time.
No, you do whatever. Hey, listen, man. I cleared up a bunch of commercial time for you. It's all on you.
I was gonna play this a couple years ago on Leno, and then they read the lyrics and said, "Wait a minute, you can't play this."
Well, so, Leno's. I'm gonna get
this. This is offensive.
One. I like that.
Okay, great.
Bob Saget, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not about the way she looked. Or who she is inside. When I got inside of her, it felt like something died. I wish we could have shared a bed, but her life was not her own. That's what happens when you date a girl from Driftwood Nursing Home. It just keeps going.
I like it.
My voice is all demented right now.
It's actually pretty good.
So people see it? Do you do a certain amount of that on your stand-up, Bob?
Well, that's a full song, you know.
Parodies are always, you know, minute or two, you know.
Yeah,
parodies.
This is a 3 minutes. This is not parody, because parody is someone else's song. So these are
original
songs. So these are a song that could be nominated for a song.
Original shorts.
Although no one nominates.
Original shorts, if you will.
I should have known every hair in her head. Can't hit the notes. I should have known every hair in her head was gray. I should have known she couldn't remember yesterday. It was soup day. In a glass half full, nothing good can last. Does it help that her teeth were sitting in that glass? I told her, baby, please don't leave. She just smiled and passed gas. She took a 4-day nap. She sneezed and broke her back. We kissed, she took a crap. Her boobs are leaking sap.
Oh my God.
I know it's wrong.
I love it.
There's just too big a gap, and it's in her lap. So it's over. It's really over. Stick a fork in her, it's over. Whoa. So I can't date the girl from Driftwood Nursing Home.
Nice.
I like it.
Bob Saget, two shows at the Improv, two shows tonight and tomorrow. I should say four shows. Bob,
I'm going to go buy an auto-tune right now and get some voice lessons from a young choir boy.
We have one. Bob, let me ask you a question. Any internet domain that you know, BobSaget.com?
BobSaget.com. I'm big on the Twitter. I really love my Twitter people. I got like 1,800,000 people that I...
Now, have you started marketing your Twitter now where people will come to you and give you a lot of money to, you know...
No, they haven't done that. They tried to use me as a billboard of sorts, but I just promote things I care about, like my benefit coming up.
I know, but when you got 1,000,000+ people, Bob, that's a lot of power. I mean, you got to think that's a lot of people that are following you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just going to get to take care of people that aren't nice to me,
like Louis C.K. I mean, everything he does is social, and I mean, he's got it down.
He really knows what he's doing.
Oh, he's
and
so
my
good.
Friend Chris Hardwick is a good guy. He's got every part of the cow must go. He's learned that he's with BBC, he's with Jim Henson, he's got Lorne Michaels' company, and it's a podcast, it's a movie, it's a pusher, it's a dealer, it's a feeler. I'm doing Steve Miller.
Oh, yeah. The Joker, right?
She's a yeah.
Some people call her a space cowboy. Some people call her a gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice.
That's what the thing's supposed to be.
Yeah. So, Bob, let me ask you a question. In the late in the world of L.A., and you know, we're kind of very far removed from that, but this whole late night TV drama fest, you know, you're out. What's your opinion on the deal? I like Fallon. I like Fallon a lot. I think he'll be an upgrade from Jay.
I think they want something younger, and as that just is the nature of it. And I was around. I was on Johnny Carson's show a lot when he left, and he didn't really want to leave. At that time, that was a lot about ownership, you know. And but it was time for him to go because, people pass the baton, so...
Where does that put our boy Jimmy Kimmel? I mean, Jimmy's right in the mix, though. I mean,
I love Jimmy Kimmel.
In fact, out of all that whole arena, he's my favorite by far.
Well, I'm friends with all of them, actually. Craig Ferguson's I'm really close with. And we sleep together by the beach in tents, and we cry and tell stories that scare each other.
Shave each other's back?
Absolutely. I let him pull mine out. I don't have that many. And just yanks them. It gives me something to do.
Kind of the pleasure-pain kind of gimmick, huh?
Yeah. It's a gimmick, but it works.
I had
to read 50 Shades of Grey, by the way, because I was on a plane because I was going to co-host the
So you read that, huh?
Well,
did you really read it?
Well, I skimmed it because I was E.L. James. I had to interview her on The View. So I'm on the plane and see Ed Asner. Remember Ed Asner?
Oh, yeah.
So Ed Asner is like, what the hell are you reading that crap for? And I'm like, well, you know, I have to read it. No, don't read that crap. I said, well, I'm just skimming.
Ed's always real positive on things.
Yeah, right? I was directing him in a TV movie once, and then Robert Wagner was standing there, and I said, Ed, hit me as hard as you can in the mouth. And he said, okay. And he did.
He really did.
Ed Asner did.
And he chipped a tooth. And I was like, well, why did I ask him?
Bonnie is on the air. Bonnie, you're on the air with Bob Saget. Bob Saget, two shows at the Improv tonight and tomorrow. Man, really go try to check this guy out. He's really awesome. I love Bob. Bonnie, go ahead.
Hi, Bob. I just wanted to say hi. I used to have a huge crush on you.
Oh, thank you. I'll bring prenups to the show.
Bonnie, he's single and very available. And
he's gotten better looking with age, Bonnie.
That's a
true story.
Unfortunately, I'm married. I haven't seen a lot of his new stuff recently. I don't watch a lot of TV, but...
What kind of women he goes after?
What was your question, Bonnie?
What kind of women does he like?
I don't go after any. Actually, the last person is my last person. I'm still in that mode. So,
Are you still a little broke up over that deal? You look like you're a little hurt over.
No, I'm just, well. But 6:30 in the morning started me up to make me. That'll make anybody look tired.
Yeah.
No, we're both knowing what's best for us, and she's a great person. So that's
just kinda
it's not nothing negative about what came out of this. It's just not happening right now, and I'm gonna hook up with Bonnie.
Oh, Bonnie said she was married.
Well,
so?
She said she was married.
Well, it'll turn one day, maybe by Saturday. Give tonight a chance.
Let's talk about the May 10th deal real fast. It's the new comedy special. It premieres Friday, May 10th, 10 o'clock. It's on Showtime. And I think it's called Bob Saget. That's what I'm talking about. Get into that a little bit, if you could, Bob.
Yeah, it's a lot of what I'm doing now is the roots of what that was. I couldn't do anything from, obviously, any special you ever saw me do.
And right.
The first half hour, the audience got kind of involved. There's a guy named J-Bone in the audience who ends up going to the bathroom because he believes he does have a diarrhea problem, and I call him out on it. So it became this live part of a special, which is frightening that he got so much energy. And then I do five new songs. One of them is called The Biggest Wiener. Very proud of that.
Right.
And I do the song that I tried to do here, Please Erase the Tape, after we're done.
No, The Biggest Wiener.
You don't play these back, do you, these shows?
Sometimes. But, I mean, I thought it was brilliant. Is The Biggest Wiener about your wiener or about wishful thinking or about another man's wiener?
No, it's even bigger than that. It's like Pecos Bill or Gulliver. It really deals with the folklore. It's something I want them to play in schools for years to come.
The Big Wiener Deal.
The Big Wiener Deal. And I sing another sing-along, which is, I can't repeat the title of it, but it's an item that can go into a person's body made of leather. I don't know how to say it. So
Strap-on Willie?
Kind of, but not. But I won't. But,
right.
And then...
Bob, you're kind of dark side to you, my friend.
Well, it makes you want to hear my stuff.
Yeah,
and it's
it
all
does.
Done. It's all done with... I did this roast for Jack Black in New York, and Jerry Lewis was there, and he grabs me, and he goes, you know what it is great about you? It's in your heart. It's in your heart what you're doing. I thought he was going to sing, walk on, you know.
Okay, speaking of the roast, when you were roasted, it was a great roast, by the way. I love the Comedy Central one. Your best friend was the roast master. Stamos.
Johnny Stamos.
How is it, like... You know,
and when he's your best friend, he knows everything about you.
Because, Bubba, you've been a part of a roast, right? On Stern when you were...
I roasted Artie, I roasted Ronnie the Limo Driver, yeah.
So how was it? I mean, is it uncomfortable or is it all pretty?
At first it was uncomfortable and I was leaning forward in my chair and one of the assistant directors who I know from years ago from the video show, he said, they say, Joel's saying you're leaning out too forward like you're not having fun. Look like you're having fun. And he yells it to the whole audience.
Right.
Oh, great. Great.
But the truth of it is Greg Giraldo, may he rest in peace,
yeah, was sad.
Was the one that I was most scared of. And I knew a couple. I talked to him about a couple jokes because I didn't want him to make a couple jokes. And he said, hey, those jokes, you know, they're my favorite jokes, so I'm going to make them. I said,
oh, wow.
And I said, well, I believe in freedom of speech over our guest friendship, so I will.
So you gave it, you told him to do
I
it.
I told him to do it, and as a result, I didn't talk to people for a little bit, and then
really?
They forgot about it. But it's just, it's a mean-spirited thing, but that's the point of it. So
did you see the Charlie Sheen deal?
I watched that. That was kind of funny. I just, you know, it's a different form of life. I mean, I like to think that I'm not comparing his life to my life, but I try to lead pretty up with people.
Do you know Charlie?
Yeah.
Do you know Charlie?
Yeah, just socially, and he's been nothing but ever nice to me, actually. So I don't want to talk negative about
it. How about Lisa Lampanelli? You ever had her on a roast? Because that bitch brings it.
No, she does, and I think she's very good.
That's one of Bubba's good friends.
Yeah, I love her, and she brings it. Oh, she brings it.
Yeah, she really likes to attack. She's great. I don't know if I'd want to be in bed with her, but...
You know, I'm not saying... by the way, our good friend, mutual friend, Artie Lang, I would have never wished what happened to him, but it might have been a little bit of a curveball because had Artie been at your roast, Bob... Oof. Artie's been known to bring it as well. Artie might have brought it as well.
Well, I directed him in Dirty Work. So Norm MacDonald also was very much paying homage to me. So it's hard for them to... there was a trashing that he did that was very funny. Actually, Jeff Ross said the good news about Artie Lang being here today. The good news is Bob Saget's daughters are here. The bad news is they're here with Artie.
Oh. Because you've got three daughters, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you have three daughters.
I have three. Two of them were there. And then Artie said something about my kids as well. I was like, don't think I need to repeat. But he was really wonderful. He said, your movie's being directed by Bob Saget. And he said, that's great. You know, that's like finding out that your eye surgeon, you know, works at LensCrafters or something. Something in that vein.
You know,
I don't
cool
know. The quotes
thing,
traveled.
The cool thing about that movie, Dirty Work, is it's really kind of become like a cult classic.
Yeah.
For 15-year-old boys, yeah, especially. Yeah.
It really is. Like, it's gained so much momentum. Like, so many younger people are really into it. And I think Artie back on Stern really kind of brought that back.
I think you're right.
Bob Saget in the studio for a little bit longer. A mutual friend of ours, Bob, is going through a tough time right now. He's I have an internet presence as well called radioio.com. And Sam has a show on Fridays for a couple hours. Sam Simon, mutual friend through obviously John Stamos and things like that. But
right.
Sam's got some kind of horrific cancer. And, you know, he makes more money than any of us times 1,000. And he's got that Simpsons, you know, lifetime money. And he's just so damn hard-headed about getting help. But we're trying to...
We're working on it.
We're chipping away at having him...
Well, there's some great doctors in L.A. Can he go to them?
Oh, he's had
he's been all those.
Experience.
He's been misdiagnosed. He's had... what did they take out, Tara?
They perforated his colon.
Yeah. During the exploratory process, they perforated his colon.
He had all these unnecessary surgeries.
He could have gone on that carnival cruise.
Yeah, and probably done better.
He could have.
Probably just jumping off shore and swimming home, he would have been in better.
And salt water would have cleared out
those.
But
if you got a chance to reach out to him, I think John's really close with him as well.
I didn't know. I did not know that, and I'm happy to hear that.
You
I'm not happy to hear it. I'm happy to hear it because I can contact
him. What a great guy.
Yeah.
You ever been to Sam's house?
Quite beautiful.
You've been there, huh?
Pieces of art everywhere.
Oh, I know.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
Bob,
I made
tell him your story about Sam's art.
Sam, you know, I'm just a dumbass hillbilly from Warsaw, Indiana, and I don't appreciate that kind of sort of thing. And so upstairs, there's this one piece of art, if you know what I'm talking about, and it looks like it's painted like kind of like in circles, and it's of dogs and things.
Right.
And I guess you're not supposed to touch that
thing.
You're
so stupid.
So Sam's giving me a little tour, and he's like, here, you know. And Sam's real trying to go, oh, my God, this is painted in circles. And I touch it, and he goes, Baba, you really aren't supposed to touch people's art.
That's Picasso. That's an original, Baba. And he's like,
I don't know what it was, but it was something that was worth a lot of money. And Sam wasn't mad at me. I just think I showed my ignorance.
Could you imagine going to like the Louvre and going, oh, let me touch the Mona Lisa? I'm like,
you're getting nine guys on you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, is that house beautiful? You know, did you know it's the largest home in the world that's all green? I did not know that.
Yeah, I heard that also. He says it's not worth it because it's financially expensive to do it.
Yeah, because he's always having breakdowns of all this new technology because everything that you get in that world is all new. It's not been tried out. And so anyway, if you get a chance to reach out to him.
I will. I'll send him an email when I get back to where my email is.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, Bob, man, I want a complete hour with you, and I could go. I love you, man.
I didn't know that was an hour. I enjoyed talking to you. I feel like we know a lot of the same people, so that's kind of interesting. And I also like being able to be interviewed by someone that I can't see.
It makes you feel a little more comfortable now, does it not?
It does. It makes me feel like that Darth Vader wanted me just to share with me. And so, can you come to any of the shows? Like, Late Show tonight, I don't think it's sold out yet.
I've been pimping the shows all day, but go ahead, give it to me all. So you still have the late one available tonight?
Yeah, I don't know what time the shows are. I mean, you might know better than me.
I think it's 8 and 10:30.
And then tomorrow's 7:30 and 10.
Yeah, Saturday's a little earlier. I think Friday's a late show.
And because people are getting home.
They're nice shows. They got two guys that are opening for me that are really great.
And it's a great venue, isn't it?
I think I know their names. I think I have it written down. It's a beautiful venue. It was a really old theater, which makes it incredibly unusual.
How did last night's show go? Did you like it?
Yeah, I don't dislike any show I do anymore.
I heard great things about last night's show, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
It
was a special show, actually.
Yeah.
There were some people there that were funny. I had a nice... It's every time I hit the stage, I'm doing it because I want to do it.
Right.
And so it's not like, you know... It's not a financial thing. It's not anything.
Right. It's just Bob Swain and say he's got more money than anybody you can think about.
Yeah. No, that's not true.
Bob's like the guy in season 2 of Breaking Bad when he's like walking around with $500,000 in a duffel bag.
Oh, Gus? Well,
no, Walter.
Oh, Walter.
You know, I remember when Walter was moving out and he told Hank that there's $500,000 in that duffel bag. And
that's right.
That's how Bob rolls around.
Yeah, he does everywhere.
With $500,000 large, just in a ski, like in a hockey gear bag.
I always do that. I'm wearing like James Bond type clothes. I'm wearing like a skin suit, basically.
Yeah, like Under Armour.
Now, Bob, growing up in Philadelphia, you know, back in 1990, I worked in Philadelphia.
Wow.
At Q102, lived off of City Line Avenue.
Wow.
In Bala Cynwyd, but you know. Philadelphia, a great city. Did you play hockey or do basketball or did you play any sports growing up?
No, I didn't. I was at Temple University. I was a film student. And before that, I worked in a deli clerk. So I was a geek on a geek on a geek cubed.
So you were smart is what you're saying.
I'm saying I was
weren't
fat.
You going to be a doctor?
Were you fat, Bob?
I think so. Appendix came out. You guys know everything. I had a 38 waist, but it was really a 32. I'd been getting my penis caught in my belt was the joke.
Really?
Yeah, because the girth was so huge.
Are you girthy or long, Bob? I'm girthy.
I'm like a can of Hormel ham.
Right. Girthy
start
and
call you ham.
Like 6.5, but girthy.
Yeah, well, you just take the top off, and then you get cut by it, and then you don't want to come back.
Thick and wide, if you would.
Yep, that's the name of my brand.
Now, when did you call yourself overweight? Was it the appendix deal that you started losing weight?
Yeah, I lost weight after that. So
Bubba had kind of a similar thing. Because
in San Antonio.
Both of you guys had your appendix burst, right?
Yeah.
Yours burst, too.
Yeah, I did when I was in San Antonio back in
you had a gig or something?
1991. Yeah. No, I was coming home from a gig, and all of a sudden I thought I had to poop. And so I went back to my apartment, and I couldn't poop. And then all of a sudden I started getting real lightheaded, and I had a roommate at the time, and I just literally fell over. And
and he had his way with you?
I woke up with a slick butt, but in the hospital.
Right.
But they said that, it burst as well.
They tried to pull your appendix out of your butt.
Unfortunately, Bob, I wish I would have taken a little bit more of your deal, and I would have lost weight from that ordeal, but
well,
I didn't.
I
gained weight.
7 hours on July 4th. They wouldn't take it out because the doctor wasn't there yet. So I started to rupture and get gangrene, which is always good.
Oh,
and then they finally took it out, and they had to give me a private room because I was infectious.
Now, Bob, when was this? Like, circa what?
Circa de Soleil. It was
Circa Soleil?
It was before that.
You did it from a high wire.
I did. I bent backwards and my appendix shot out of my uterus.
With Asian women that caught it.
Yeah, in her teeth, like a Frisbee, like a dog in a Frisbee's mouth. Then she ran it down to the cafeteria.
They
walked it up.
This was like 90 as well, was it not?
It was something like that.
We might have had like 80. A simultaneous.
No, earlier. This was 80. Yeah, this is 80. I'm older.
Yeah, you're way older than me.
I'm 100 million years older.
Because I can't see you having a weight problem.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have one now. And now it's just I'll drink occasionally, and that's about it.
What is your drink of choice?
I like a martini just because I want to be James Bond.
I'm assuming extra dry.
I do. But it's a Jewish James Bond. The order goes like this. I'd like a... Grey Goose martini straight up, really cold. No vermouth because you don't put vermouth in a martini. And you shake it as cold as you can. Glacier cold, please. I'd like it a tiny bit dirty. Do you have blue cheese olives? Okay, just regular olives.
Guy's exhausted by the time you're done with his order.
It's a Jewish James Bond. It never ends.
Guy's just trying to sling as many drinks as he
James
can in an hour,
Bond,
and you're like really messing up his per capita.
James Bond would say, just shake it, not stir it. I'm going, and if you have the cocktail onions, if they're not too over-soaked, that'd be great. And then
does it ever stop?
Shake it at the table if you can. Shake it like a Polaroid picture. Come on, shake it.
Shake it. And Tara, what's that thing that girls do with their butts?
Twerking.
Twerk it. Are you familiar with Bob? Are you familiar with twerking?
No, but it can.
Tara, pull up a twerker for Bob if you would.
Make her do it.
Yeah, Bob, I didn't even know about this, but it's just phenomenal.
Is it a tightening of the butt?
No, it's
they
more.
They make it clap.
It's
you
like
know,
a butt
booty
clapping,
clap.
But it's called twerking, and you can go to. It's this whole underworld of, I guess, you know, and it tends
a butt
to work.
Itself is a whole underworld.
True, and it tends
it's
to work.
An underworld for a hole.
Better with.
I don't know if I cleared that up the first time I mentioned
ethnic
it
people
and
or
got
not.
No response.
But white girls cannot twerk.
Yeah, you might get. I don't know. I don't know if this is your thing.
White girls don't twerk.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of like.
Is it a shaking of the buttocks?
It's they make it clap. Yeah. They like get it rolling. It's almost like this separate entity.
They're rolling their ass, Bob.
Well, that's okay. I mean, anything that's sexual is kind of cool. So it's like a primal dance in a way, if you will.
Yeah, it's very, very
like
primal.
Almost a mating call, if you will, you know?
Hang on. She's taking a while.
This
here
is
we
primal
go.
Dancing.
See this. This
yeah,
is called
hot.
Twerking.
That's twerking right
yeah.
here.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I mean, that's like, that's all ass. I mean, that's a donkey booty.
Bob, yeah, I'm just trying to hip you up a little bit, Bob. So instead of shaking it like a Polaroid picture, which was like Andre 5,000 10 years ago, you might want to say twerk it. Twerk it like the dirty bitch you are or something like that.
Yeah, that's going to last at least 6 years. So I've gotten some time out of this.
Yeah, you have.
So I at least want to go down from now on as, you know, Bubba the Love Sponge, the guy who's Wizard of Oz-like, and turned you on to twerking, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd like to get that credit if I could.
I was on stage last night and I said that sharded does not get you any points on Words with Friends, which is true. And
sharded
doesn't get you any points.
It doesn't. And I believe neither does queefing. I don't think it gives you any points on Words.
That's nonsense.
Words
those are very popular words.
Those are both double zeros on Words with Friends.
It doesn't even let you use them. I mean, I'm hit or miss, but twerking, I think it is a term. I've heard I'm going to twerk, or when you tweak is. A tweak is a word I've heard, but maybe twerk is only a new thing.
It might still be built in. You never know.
But twerk has work in it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Whereas the R, I mean, there's no W.
You could get a lot of steam out of that word. You know, you got an R and the K.
You get a lot of steam out of that butt.
Yeah. Bob Saget. Bob, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I was
overjoyed. I'm happy.
When you knew you were going to be on the Bob of the Love Sponge show, you're like, oh, great.
No, I remembered it. I remembered talking to you. I just didn't know that I would feel like this.
I think we're one of the very own shows. When I got fired in 04 for the largest FCC fine in the history of the world, and then we were out for a couple of years and we started working for Howard, I said, Howard, I can't bring my whole crew to New York. And he's like, well, you better build you something down there. So I built me a little place. And then a year and a half ago, we moved into this big place. And so I think we're one of the, I mean, you do a lot of radio. I think we're one of the very few people to have their own standalone place, kind of, I think.
No, it's like a studio. I mean, this is a huge thing. So,
more importantly.
And it has the look of hell to it, which
it
I like also.
It is like the evil palace, like
yeah,
you said.
It's got a lot of red
going. Bob, we even have welcoming screens. You see that?
Yeah, I do see that.
That's a good picture,
Bob.
I think I use that one in my spank bank.
Look at that, Bob. Look at you. You even got a little chest cheese showing there, Bob. Look at that.
Bob, that is a hot picture.
Oh, look at this chair. They kind of make it get bigger and bigger.
Yeah,
see, Bob's,
I'm taking that home.
Bob's coming to get me now. He's getting bigger and bigger.
Someone's whacking as they keep adding.
And he just looks so sweet and kind, but then that sexy, he's kind of.
He is sweet and kind, but right down he's a dirty birdie, and you know
that's
he is.
That's what I like him dirty.
He's
so.
A dirty birdie.
I'm well groomed though. I try to keep up.
How do you keep your pubes, Bob?
My extremities. I do a little quick work
on
them.
I'm completely shaved. I keep mine. Completely
well, I don't like
shaved.
To be completely because then it sticks to itself. It's like the gym teacher in I forgot what movie it was. I think it was the Wayans Brothers did a movie where the gym teacher's
where it's sticking
to himself.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen.
Now my sister's bald. Tara's bald.
And that would be me. Believe it or not, I'm actually biologically his sister.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? How hosed am I?
That's so cool.
Your
actually.
Jaw literally just dropped.
Yeah,
no, it's good. I actually think it's wonderful.
Yeah,
we didn't start
good.
Out like this. She just recently jumped on this bandwagon a year ago when
I
finally let her.
Yeah, I begged and pleaded.
I've actually been in this industry 30 years, had to put in some hard time, and this bitch comes running into the out of nowhere.
Yeah, I just came right on in, Bob.
Well,
you did,
Tara.
So the family's appreciative, am I right?
Well, nobody's really appreciative. When you make the most money in the family, then of course you're the biggest dick and you're the most selfish. You know
true.
How it goes, Bob.
That's true.
Yeah, you are. You pretty much are.
Yeah, my mother's nice to me because she knows where she's got to get her
What does she think of your stand-up? Does
she
get offended or is she cool? Our mom's really cool. Like, she gets it. She understands it. We have her on the show.
Our mom talks about shaving her pubes. Our mom talks about her gray pubes and all that kind of
thing. Yeah, I did a show the other night about my mom and about who. Actually, it was the Jack Black roast. It was bad stuff. I said that during my dad's Shiva, because my dad passed away. And Shiva, for those who don't know, means delicatessen after someone dies, pretty much. It's a ceremony after you pass on. And I said that Jeffrey Ross was feeding my mother Kishka, and then I said that Kishka is the definition of his testicles.
So and Jeff Ross was
basically
feeding.
I said that, yeah. And so I didn't tell her that I said that.
Would she have laughed?
She would have, but she would have been hard to understand because she had Jeff's Kishkas in her mouth.
Oh, that's true. That's hard to juggle.
And rather than his tongue, though, I'd rather have that because I know where his mouth's been.
But. Yeah, his testicles are probably cleaner.
I would think
sad.
So, but yeah.
You'd
just,
never leave the house,
this
Bob.
Room, you go from game to worse.
Bob Saget, improv, two shows tonight. Still some tickets available for the late show. Don't know what the ticket availability is for Saturday. But you can go to improv. Is it Improv Tampa or improv.com?
It'll take you there both.
Okay, go there and buy. It's a nice little.
Really a nice place.
Very
it's
nice.
100-year-old theater. It goes up, and some people get high up seats, and there's no one there but them. It's like Rome.
You can get
it's
high.
Crazy.
You can get
like
laid.
Yes or no. You can go sideways.
Two tomorrow, two tonight. Bob.
You can butterfly it. You can saute it.
BobSaget.com. Bob, thank you. You know, more importantly, thank you for coming in rather than the phone call because we were able to get so much more out of you, including your acoustic set.
Yeah, that was amazing. I'm sorry it wasn't that great. It's just
I thought it was brilliant.
It was awesome.
Well, you're very kind. And you also got some drainage and leakage. I'll be in this chair when I leave.
Ooh, really? DNA?
Yeah, just hearing these girls thought I was hot, thinking I was a DILF made me happy.
It's the truth.
Well, here's a guy here that thinks Tara's got the... Jared out of Fort Myers, last call. I got to move on. I'm way late. Hi, Jared.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys?
Yeah.
I just think it's funny. Tara, it seemed like, had always been kind of pretty introverted type of person, and I think
this
show is turning for a little raunchy, man.
My sister's a loose whore. She married an Egyptian, and she throws it out there. And quite frankly, I think that she's got the hots for Bob. I'm just going to pretty much say it.
I'm just appreciating his talent. What's wrong with that?
Right.
If a man does that, then it's a different story. But if a woman does that, then she's a whore. Why is that, Jared?
You just nailed it, Tara. I don't think there's any further explanation needed. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, thanks, Jared.
Well, I mean, he's onto something
there.
You're just really throwing it out there like a whore that you are.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know your husband's Egyptian. That frightens me.
Yeah, I'd stay away.
It frightens me, too.
Before you go to bed, does he talk about the boundaries in the house?
Tonight, when you hear...
straps explosives to his
body. When you hear... run, Bob.
So that's...
Run.
When he hugs you, is it a little difficult with the whole plastique and all that?
It gets... I don't really hug him a lot.
And she says he's got a big penis, but we've asked her to bring pictures in. And there's
yeah,
always,
that's not,
you know,
homo.
But that's with the ticker.
Well, there's got
to
be something.
The detonator is attached to it.
There's got to be something that she likes about him that we don't know about, which is probably a penis, because I haven't figured it out yet, quite frankly.
When you tell him to set the clock in the morning accidentally sometimes, does he do the timer on the bomb?
Not accidentally, actually. I think he has a plan.
Yeah.
I think he really...
Yeah, he's
secretly
an Egyptian.
Hates me and wants to blow me up, but you know, it's all good. We're newlyweds, and he's a lot younger than me, so you know.
Sounds like he's
my
got
first
his
marriage.
Sounds like he's got his whole life ahead of him.
He certainly
after he gets rid of my sister. Yes, he does.
But he's taking himself with her, which doesn't sound good.
Yeah, you never know.
Bob, man, thank you so very much.
Thank you, guys.
And we got a little Bubba swag care package for you as well. Some
this
of our Bubba
really
Army,
worked out.
Bubba Army merchandise, and
thank you
for you. The song and. Two shows tonight and two tomorrow, Tampa Improv. Bob, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bubba.
Bob Saget.
I'll miss you guys.
Thank you, Bob.
You are the best thing on the radio!
Thank you.
That is what you would call a ringing endorsement.
I hate to put myself over, kid.
But I'm going to try that.
More of the Bubba Radio Network after this.